text for the sermon today as the text assigned, Psalm 69, verse 4b, 7, 8, 9, 19, and 33. Reading again verse 7. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. This is our text. Congregation, be seated. What kind of text is this anyway? I know that pastors develop a host of different routines and practices in their selections of texts for preaching. Some, I have heard, will pick out an entire year's worth on a single weekend retreat. Others doggedly preach every single epistle or every gospel regardless. Others devise a special series. But for me, at least, it was a Monday morning ritual of textual triage. I would read through the appointed lessons for the approaching Sunday and decide which of the four was going to become my text for the week ahead. And I'll be honest, I looked for sizzle. I looked for a text that had red-hot, jump-out-and-grab-you stuff going on in it. I looked for the text that would make the preaching task a little easier. And had this reading from Psalm 69, the text assigned for this, the second Friday of Lent, had this text been among my four choices, it would have been at the bottom of every list. What kind of text is this? A hodgepodge of 5 1/2 verses yanked out of the beginning, the middle, and the end of a 36-verse psalm. And what a happy and uplifting collection of verses the preacher is given with which to craft a sermon for God's people. Consider the key words that the psalmist uses to describe his situation. He writes that people are out to destroy him. They attack him. He is reproached, shamed, dishonored. He is made a stranger and an alien to his own family. Now, this is not the stuff of an upbeat, encouraging, gospel-celebrating, exuberant sermon. What kind of text is this? It certainly is not any text that I would ever choose for the work of a sermon. You see, the real problem with this text is that it leaves me wondering not only what kind of text is this, but it also forces me to consider the awkward and uncomfortable, yet nevertheless inescapable question, what kind of God is this? What kind of God lets a person go through this kind of agony and anguish? What kind of God allows someone to experience reproach, shame, dishonor, destruction, attack, imprisonment, and alienation? What kind of God would let the psalmist suffer? No, indeed, this is not a text waiting for a sermon. This is a text to be safely passed over in favor of some comforting gospel reading or an encouraging epistle, or even a hopeful lesson from the Old Testament. But alas, the assigned text is the assigned text. 5 1/2 verses of Psalm 69. And so now all of you must suffer the text and its God with me. Now all of you are forced to wonder, what kind of text is this? And even worse, what kind of God is this? And of course, it doesn't help matters to take into account the author of our psalm. Naturally, it's David. In truth, we would expect a psalm like this from the hand of David. He was always so good at telling it like it was, even when the way that it was wasn't especially flattering for himself or even for his God. But seeing David behind the text only exacerbates the question. David was a man after God's own heart. He was someone on God's A-list. God favored David. God liked him. And so what's David? cave of doing, feeling overwhelmed and beaten down on the verge of complete collapse. And it's clear from the text that David was not just feeling the nasty, if well-deserved, repercussions of his own sin and his own folly. If only the text did indicate that. That we could abide. But no, David's complaint is precisely that he's going through all of this ordeal despite the fact that he is doing things God's way. Actually, David gives us the message that it is precisely because he loves God and God's things that he has become the target of this intense hatred. What kind of God is this? What kind of God treats his favored one with such indifference? What kind of God makes him endure such torture? It doesn't add up. It doesn't fit into the system of justice and the system of fair retribution and honest paybacks that we all cherish and follow. David does right by God, and he suffers intensely for it. What kind of God is this? What kind of God is this who drives a man relentlessly until he forsakes his comfortable life, packs up everything, moves to St. Louis, and invests thousands of hours in order to become a pastor, only to allow him to endure unimaginable strife at home from the members of his own family, who are a little less than thrilled with his newfound vocation? What kind of God is this who blesses his most loyal servants with the heartache of leukemia and a child-sized casket? What kind of God is this who smiles upon his faithful church by allowing mutual distrust, discord, suspicion, and even hatred to burn with ferocious intensity through its people? What kind of God is this who rewards his most committed workers, people who don't care about money, who don't care about an easy lifestyle, who don't care about impressing others, people who just want to serve him? What kind of God is this who allows those kind of people to be despised, ridiculed, rejected, and even killed by the very ones they love and want to serve? What kind of God is this? It's hard to argue with Luther's observation. Look at the way that things are going, and you can only conclude, God not only sleeps, sometimes he even snores. What kind of God is this? His most favored ones are reproached, attacked, shamed, and destroyed, and he does nothing. He doesn't make life easier. Quite the contrary, for those who love him, life becomes infinitely harder. I know that the biggest challenges, the biggest struggles in my own life have all resulted from the fact that I want to know and I want to follow God. It would be so much easier if he didn't matter. What kind of God is this who allows those he loves to suffer so much, who allows the one he loves to suffer so much? Even his most favored one, even the beloved son whom he loved, even he is reviled, scorned, mocked, tortured, and killed. Even he. What kind of God is this? I don't know. David didn't know. David had no answer for his cries of distress and heartache. The God who calls us, the God who woos us and subdues us, is beyond explanation, beyond comprehension. Who can understand him? So often he confounds and perplexes and rebukes me and my efforts to make sense of things. I don't get it. What I do get are the reproaches that the world aims at him and then he lets fall on me. What I do get is the righteousness that flows goes from him and then falls on me. And that's the thing. That's the thing that changes everything. That's the thing that sets everything right. Not that it answers every question, fills every groaning, and satisfies every curiosity. Hardly, not that at all. No, these reproaches, they still endure indeed. But the one who does love you, the one who does favor you with his peculiar and his perfect grace, does not only permit reproaches and rebuke to rain down on you. He also opens his hand of blessing, and he showers, and he drenches, and he saturates you with the glorious blood of his righteousness. That I know. I don't know any answer for most of the hard questions that hound you today as you sit here. I don't know why God is allowing the reproaches of life to crush you. But I do know that his righteousness extends to you today, even now in the midst of the ambiguities, the animosities, and the anxieties that fill your life. His righteousness, hard won by his beloved one, who was cursed, rejected, and damned, his righteousness is yours. God, who allows reproaches to punctuate your life, overwhelms and answers them all with the more stunning reality of a righteousness that fills you, sustains you, and transforms you. He claims you. He gives you his name. He justifies you. He saves you. He glorifies you. That's reality. That's your reality. That's your righteousness given to you by your God. What kind of God is this? What kind of God is this who takes your sin and your shame and gives you instead forgiveness and new life? What kind of God is this who takes the agonies of today and transforms them into the ecstasies of tomorrow? What kind of God is this who goes with you through the reproaches and brings you at last to the eternal day of rejoicing? What kind of God is this? And so it is that the question transforms into the exclamation. The plaintive wail of doubt and despair gives way to the certain declaration of God-given faith. Searching perplexity is drowned out by the victory shout of conquering grace. The reproaches of your enemy are vanquished by the righteousness of your God. What kind of God is this? Yields to the wonder and the worship of faith. What kind of God is this? What kind of God is this who loves you so? What kind of God is this who redeems you, owns you, and transforms you for eternity? What kind of God is this who triumphs over reproaches with righteousness? What kind of God is this? I don't know. I can't know. But I do know that he alone is worthy of your praise, your honor, and your life. What kind of God you have, brothers and sisters, what kind of God you have.